Hari Hiko Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahabiryam Karabhavahai Tejasvina Vaditamastu Mahvidvishavahai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Satyabhama confirms Krishna's anxiety. 55-56. Here Satyabhama interjects, just as Rukmini is known for her meekness, so too is Satyabhama known for her anger. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2355. And so each one has a quality that, you know, is quite outstanding, because that's what adds the flavor to the whole rasa. Right? So then at you know, the appropriate time, that particular flavor gives, is what adds to the rasa at that time.
Mm-hmm. So it says that Rukmini is equivalent to Lakshmi and Satyabhama to Radharama.
Yeah. That was by the Acharyas. You notice the wording. The wording.
Equivalent?
Yeah, no, because they say Radharani and then they say Lakshmi.
As opposed to
not mentioning her name.
Oh.
Yeah, like that. So they're very expert. Because it's not wrong at the same time. Tears from anger from Harivamsa. From the lotus petal eyes of Satyabhama fell tears generated by angry affection, like drops of dew. Jiva Goswami remarks, in describing the tears as dew, the intention is to show the brilliance of the tears, not the coldness, since the tears generated through anger are actually warm, not cold. Right. This dew, then it's always very sparkling, right? The dew in the morning is very sharp and, you know, sparkling, so like that. And also brilliance can mean the intensity, right? Because when you say ujjvala, it means very intense. Sri Parikit said, then temperamental Satyabhama, surrounded by other wives, answered back in jealous anger. She said, dear Sri Rukmini, why are you prattling on like this? Why talk only about what he does while asleep? Even while active and awake, he seems to have his mind. On something else, as if dreaming. Indeed, were his wives in name only. His young cowherd maidservants are in fact more dear to him than we are. As Satyabhama and other queens witnessed, even in the middle of the day, Krishna often acted as if his mind were in braja. He would call out to his cows, his friends, and his gopis, just as Rukmini testified he did in his sleep. Yes, so it's a matter of the intensity of the attachment. So because of that, then there's that jealousy that comes up when the mood is somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right? Balaram blames Krishna for not returning to Braja, 57-64. Sri Parikit said, blessed Baladev, the darling son of Rohini, an intimate friend of all Gokula, could not tolerate hearing these words. Angrily he spoke in reply. Lord Baladev, siding with his mother, was dissatisfied the way the other queens had interpreted Krishna's behavior. Sri Baladev said, dear ladies, all this is nothing but my brother's clever deception. We are intent upon speaking about the misery of the residents of Braja, misery all too real. And he is simply cheating us. Lord Baladev called the Brajavasis' unhappiness sahaja, natural or real. According to Lord Baladev, the devotees in Krishna's Dwarka entourage had every reason to be concerned about the plight of their counterparts in Braja. Krishna's apparent distress, however, should not be taken seriously, because he obtains pleasure only from deceiving others and will therefore go to any extreme to create an illusion. He is put on a show of being distracted by memories of Braja just to please his Dwarka devotees and give them a taste of the ecstasy of separation, even while present with them. Everything Krishna said about the Brajavasi's distress and separation from him has some basis in reality, but he has manipulated the facts to create a false appearance that he feels similarly about the Brajavasis. 59. I stayed there in Braja for 2 months and tried to restore the Brajavasis to normal, but nothing I said or did was of any avail. While visiting Braja, Lord Balaram had tried to console the devotees by assuring him that Krishna was very much afflicted by separation from them, and that certainly in a few days he would finish killing all the demons in Mathura and come back home. Balaram also did other things to relieve the Brajavasis' distress. For example, he performed water sports in the Jamuna and constructed new buildings in various places for Krishna to enjoy in upon his return. 60. Seeing no other way to achieve my purpose, I made hundreds of promises to them, and with great effort finally consoled them to some extent. Then I managed to pull myself away and hurry back here. Lord Balaram concluded that only Krishna's returning to Braja would forestall disaster. Lord Balaram had done everything he could to convince the Brajavasis that Krishna would soon be coming. He had told them that now he was going to Dwarka to bring Krishna personally. But even after offering so many assurances, Balarama had been obliged to pry himself away from Braja by force. No one had wanted to let him leave. I anxiously requested, "Krishna, please find some excuse to go to your cowherd village just once and save the lives of the people there." The cowherd community was made up of Krishna's own people, with whom he had enjoyed the pleasure of his childhood. Now they were drowning in an ocean of misery. He surely ought to be willing to visit Braja once to save them. From his mouth he said, "Certainly I shall go." But in his heart he thought otherwise. Indeed, the truth about a person's mind can be known from how he acts. Speaking in one way while acting in another is proof that one intends to deceive. Right? You know, so that's the political field. You see, everybody's pleasant and nice. Everybody loves everybody. Everybody is so cooperative. But then what they do, that actually defines their intent, right? So that's what Balaram is. That's the point Balaram is making. Sri Parikit said, "Hearing this, the personality of Godhead, who is ruled by the love of those dear to him, suddenly got up from his bed and came outside, loudly weeping." Appears so. Probably Balaram definitely said it loud enough so he would hear it. From his fully blossoming lotus eyes rained a flood of tears. With a choking voice, tormented by compassion for others, he spoke as follows. An inferior person cares only for his own welfare, whereas a virtuous person thinks about paranugraha, compassionate help for others. Krishna's paranugraha is unlimited. Taking the word para in the sense of enemies, you can understand that he is compassionate even to those who hate him. Certainly, therefore, he would not neglect his devotees. Krishna appears and asks Uddhava's advice. 65-68. Here, for the first time in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna enters the story directly, but under lamentable circumstances. The Supreme Lord said, "Yes, it is true. My heart is made of solid diamond. It must be so because it is not yet split in half. Those devotees took care of me for so long, from the very beginning of my childhood, and still I have forgotten all about their exceptional love. Be that as it may, I must somehow do something to help them. I have indeed been cruel to have caused those gentle souls such extreme grief. O brother Uddhava, you know everything, and you are the best of my dear friends. Please tell me at once what I should do. Please lift me from this ocean of distress. It is remarkable that Krishna delegates such vital decisions not to his queens or his brother, Balaram, but his confident Uddhava. This highlights the conflict of interest between the Vrajavasis and the Dwarkavasis. Whose interest do they have in mind? Krishna's or their own? Krishna appears to trust Uddhava as an impartial guide. Devaki and Padmavati advise Krishna,
69.
Mm-hmm.
But why didn't he trust? I mean, for example, Balaram. What would be his interest in that?
No, it's the principle is because Uddhava is his advisor, that's his service. Like Balaram's his brother, the queens are his wives. You know, so you would take advice and discussion in the household affairs, or you would also ask Balaram on, you know, the big greater affairs of state, you know, like this. But then, you know, for just specifically how he should look at it, what he should do, that generally then he asks Uddhava. That's his position, that's his service. So it's natural he would ask. Yes.
I was just reflecting on earlier when we were reading about people like Kamsa or Shishupal, they got such a great result even though they're inimical to Krishna. And then the question's always there, just think how much more you'll get by serving Krishna with devotion. But then you see there's so much sorrow and so much pain involved with the topmost devotees. So,
yes, but the point is that always being absorbed in Krishna. Then, it's just like, okay, the programs start, there's the meet cute, you know, then they go along, things look good, and then there's something that just completely almost like destroys the relationship. Mm-hmm. Right? And then that goes on for a while. You have no idea how that's going to work out. Mm-hmm. Right? And then suddenly at the end it works out in some amazing way and everybody's happy. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, if it was just they got together, you know, everything went nice and they went through the whole thing, and they lived happily ever after, then, you know, that's what you read to the kids. Mm-hmm. No? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So therefore, it's part of the... We make these comments because that's the natural thing to say.
Yeah.
But it's actually very important. Mm-hmm. You know, because people, you know, that's just the way it works. That intensity is mm-hmm. Because if you're always absorbed in Krishna, then the intensity of absorption, that's the actual ecstasy. Mm-hmm. Now, it may come through being with Krishna or being separated from Krishna, and they both have their flavor. Mm-hmm. But it's the intensity of being absorbed in Krishna. So here you can see is the intensity of their absorption. Mm-hmm. That's the uniqueness that they have. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because the Yadus, when Krishna's not in Dwarka, then they mention that they make the point that a moment seems like millions of years. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, as you don't see this kind of, this level of ecstasy. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not like you're worried that they're going to, you know, die or something. Mm-hmm. But the Vrajavasis, that appears to be a worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm
saying?
Because the ecstasy is so great, so you already start to see it there in with Uddhava, and that when Krishna comes, and he's always worried when he's going, mm-hmm. when he's not there, when he's coming. But the Vrajavasis is even more strong.
Mm. So when you're absorbed in Krishna unfavorably, you wouldn't call it ecstasy.
No, but still, it gives a particular taste. Otherwise, how do you do it?
Yeah.
Right? There's so many other things to do.
Yeah.
Right? Now, Kamsa being, you know, a big guy, he could be absorbed in something else.
Yeah.
But, you know, mm-hmm. it gives more taste. So,
still better than anything else.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's why the external things can't be Because here you see it's all these different flavors and moods. Mm-hmm. Each one of them's right. Mm-hmm. It's not that one's right, one's wrong. They're all right. Mm-hmm. They're just different angles of how you can see it. You know, they're looking at, you know, he's always absorbed in them, you know, so what's our position? And there is, you know, why you're not doing anything for them, and, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's these, then just different flavors on which one you happen to be absorbed in at the time.
Yeah.
Like when Rupa Goswami is giving an example of Nanda Baba and Mother Jashoda and their separation. Mother Jashoda is lamenting Krishna's not there. And Nanda Baba is chastising her, you know, because he, in the mood of separation, has gone into hallucinations. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, "You foolish woman, why are you lamenting like this? Krishna's standing right here," you know. So he's hallucinating and seeing Krishna there, and saying, "Why are you lamenting? He's right here," you know. So all these are all different manifestations of the same thing,
right?
Does that make sense? So only if this appear that this is okay, then this is the place for you.
Yes.
If you think, hey, wait a minute, you know, then there's other places.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like we said, the Nimbarkas, they're dealing with Radha Krishna, they're always together. They don't brook the concept that there's separation. Mm-hmm. For them it's just not reality. Because it's like the supreme in his concept, how can you separate them? You know, so they're always together. He says sometimes for flavor they'll appear, you know, and they give the example of the pastime in Kusum Sarovar. That Krishna's sitting there, Radharani's sitting there, but somehow they think each other's not, so they go into the separation. So they're tasting it. You understand? Here's the point, because that element of separation is the highest flavor. They're tasting it, but their followers aren't, because they don't want to. So therefore, the Nimbarkas look at it. Oh no, you know, it's kind of like how cute they think they're separated, but they're actually together. You know, so it's another unique flavor of their pastimes. You know, so they're absorbed in that side of it and to great ecstasy. But it's still not the same as what we're talking about in Braj. That's a whole other realm.
Yes.
Because the difference is greater in these other realms.
Yeah.
On Braj, the similarity is
yeah.
You know, but at the same time, when they have a pastime and they're engaging, then that difference is much greater than any other realm. You know? Does that make sense? I mean, it's the other, okay, he's God, we're the servant. And that's here, it's just like, you know, it's just the cowherd boy is saying, you know what, it's Krishna, he thinks he's so strong, I can beat him in a wrestling match.
Or, yeah.
You know, Radharani's telling him to go away because he's been doing something she doesn't like.
Yeah.
You know, so that difference is so great.
Mm-hmm.
But then the separation is that oneness is so great. So it's just so much more intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
So the other thing that's interesting is that there's so many different points of view on the exact same pastime. Like Satyabhama has an angle, Balaram has an angle, the Vrajavasis themselves. And so it's just interesting, I guess, is that a symptom of when dealing with Ras, that there's no, like, single...
No, answer? That's the point of Ras, is the variety.
Yeah.
Like, you see when... We'll see when we come to the point of the next chapter after Diti, then they start describing Vaikuntha.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you want to get how Vaikuntha, you're setting the scene, and then we're going to get to the doorkeepers, and then the four Kumaras coming, and then, you know, Jayanvijay get cursed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, when he's talking there... Krishna means Sukadeva Goswami is bringing out, Markandeya Prabhupada is bringing out that they're all on the same platform. It doesn't matter what living entity they are, moving or non-moving, they're all on the same platform of that love of Krishna. You know, they're still in that same transcendental position. But there's spiritual variety. Therefore, there's the bee, there's this, you know. Means you have all these birds, right, are all chanting, right? And they all have, they're known for their, you know, how you say, their particular call of the particular, you know, like this. And so, but when the king of the bees starts buzzing and describing the glories of the Lord, they all go quiet just to listen. Because it's not about, you know, making a scene yourself. It's about hearing the glories of the Lord. So when he's singing, then they all listen. And so he's pointing out is there's no difference here. You know, it could be a bee, it could be a peacock, it could be, you know, one of the servants with four arms that have the same form as Vishnu. It doesn't matter. They're all... But the Prabhupada's always constantly bringing out the element of variety. So that's the uniqueness, is that all this variety is what gives the flavor. Because if everybody's just doing the same thing, then where's the intensity? You know, it's just like you get some intensity. Let's say you have a footy match in a stadium with 100,000 people. Right, then they're all kind of there, and the intensity, then you feel something's there. Otherwise, you could much more comfortably watch the match on television, get better angles. You know, you're sitting over in some corner because, I mean, unless you pay big bucks to get right there on the front line, you're not seeing really what's going on. On the television, you see more, they replay it, they show the thing, they do the close-up, you know, you see the guy rip off his T-shirt, you know, they do it slow motion. The whole thing goes on. Well, you may have missed it, you know, you something looked here and you missed the guy who did the backflip, you know, but on the television, they'll show it about 20 times, you know. But the thing is on the television, you only get to see what's happening. But when you're there, the feeling of the intensity, that's the real point of going and watching the game. Otherwise, why would you want to go out there, sit in the sun, the rain, all those people, stinky people, and they're eating, and, you know, I mean, it's weird, you know. You know, and that footy match, not so bad. It's a baseball game. You can get hit in the head with the ball, you know. It's just, you know.
It's true.
Yeah, you know, so that's right.
Right.
You understand? So that intensity, everyone's looking for intensity.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, why is it one of the most popular genres is soap operas? Mm-hmm. You know, I think they give them a different name nowadays, but, you know soap opera?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so that's because it generates so much intensity because it's like, You take, let's say what would happen to 20 different families, you know, over the course of a lifetime. They'll put in one family over a season. You know, I mean, you don't have that. You know, it's like, you know, the grandmother gets cancer, you know, the uncle gets this, the dog gets run over, the brother gets sent to the delinquent home. You know, it's like all this kind of stuff. You know, that doesn't happen to one family.
Yeah. Right? Brain transplant, stuff like that.
Yeah,
that generally doesn't happen.
Yeah. And they have the money, right? You know, for just regular, like, middle class, you know, like that. And, you know, because the American... I say medical system so worried that they're going to do it de bono, right?
Yes.
So intensity is a very important element, but people don't think about it. So only if it's intensity in the area that we like, then of course we're appreciating. But if it's an area we don't relate to, that's when we may doubt. So that's the problem when these come up just as kind of like an intellectual discussion. Then the difficulty is that one may say, well, what about this? What about that? It's not about logic. It's about taste. Logic ends, you know, when you attain Sarup Siddhi. You know, that's when it's supposed to end. Because if it doesn't end, you don't get the Vasta Siddhi. You know, and you're definitely not getting Prema. Is that so?
Yeah.
So that's the whole aspect, is that it's all about this taste and the intensity of the taste. So what we see is as we go up, the intensity becomes greater, though that's not brought out so much.
Yeah.
But as we go, then that we see it's the intensity is the.
And there's so many more people involved.
Yes. No. Then it's all, of course. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because the other is just Narad Muni and Hanuman, Narad Muni and Prahlad, Narad Muni and the Pandavas, Narad Muni and Shiva. Because even, you know, Parvati, Nandi, and the others don't really take part. just Indra, just the king, just the Brahman. Yeah. But here it's like everybody, even, you know, Padmavati's got something to say, you know. She's put in her, I'm not sure, you know, how you say, two Kauris worth. You know? So.
Whether anyone listens to it is another.
That's another thing. That's also part of the flavor. You know, you got to have someone, you know, everything's perfect. And how do you have someone who they say stuff and you don't have to listen to it? You know? So, you know, they're saying, so if I couldn't, you wouldn't have someone like this. But when you get to Goloka, then you can start to have this. You know, and here she's just a little nuts and out of the way. Get to Braj, you got Jakila. You know, so she's aggressive. You know. But, yes.
This intensity is always constant. It's consistent.
Yes, it's always constant. That's the whole point of, until devotional service gets to that constant platform, then it doesn't become something to take seriously. You know, something, it's just like, let's say someone, you know, somehow writes a hit song. But it means people talk about the song, but they don't talk about the group big when it's continuous. So it's done for a long time, but, yeah. You know, so that's when you start to notice. Or, you know, so there's people who do something, you know, in a game or a sport, they do something, they make the goal, but then do you ever hear of them again? Or, you know, somebody has one part and some part and it's big and then they disappear. Or, you know, it's just there in anything. You know, someone came forward, made a good, somehow made a good point in the, you know, legal presentation. Mm-hmm. And it turned the case, but then do they break another one? Mm-hmm. You know, so the whole thing is it's considered serious when it's consistent. So that's the point, is that this level of intensity, then you will find in Goloka. So that's the uniqueness that's there. Is that yes?
I would say that unless we are purified enough, we can't actually say that either whether we like it or we're attracted to this, because here it seems a lot of pain and we always judge according to our material understandings. Even when we say intense, you know, but this is separation, it's pain, it always has this negative connotation.
So it means it's a negative connotation when we're not involved in it.
If it's pain, painful?
As we mentioned before in the original example, right? You know, we get to that, you know, that particular part in the film. All the ladies are there crying. The guys have all gotten up to go get a beer, do something else. You know, and they said it was a great, great flick. So that's the intensity. So if you're involved in it, then it's good. But if you're not involved in it, then it's kind of...
My point was that...
No, but you see the difference? Here is you're seeing someone else. The other one you're seeing yourself. So here they're not worried about themselves. Okay, that'll make the difference. So if it's just you're seeing yourself, the suffering you're going through, then of course it's going to be a pain. But if you see it in connection with somebody, then it's not a pain. You know what I'm saying? Then it just deepens the relationship. Does that make sense? So that's why the modern view that, okay, you know, this is so, you know, the constraints of family or community, then, but it's not seen actually in connection with the relationships in the family or community. It's just seen according to yourself. Why do I have to do this? Right? You know, therefore the kid leaves the village, goes to the big bad city, you know, stuff like that. Because there it's impersonal. Because there's so many people there, it has more intensity. Like that. Like, you've been to New York? Yeah, so it's just, as far as energy, it's very intense. You know, I would imagine probably the only other place that would be like that would be Tokyo.
Yeah.
Moscow. I think the streets are so big, it gets dissipated a little bit. But there must be areas in Moscow. It's like
all jammed.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just basically, it's that whole point when you have that intensity, so many people, everyone trying to do what they're doing, and then that just creates something. So people like to be there just for the intensity. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, I mean, it's just like that. How many people go and visit, you know, some nice place? Like people go and visit Bali. Visit these other places. Who lives there?
Locals.
Yeah, locals. Yeah, but that's it. You know, so either the locals, they're just poor guys that just sit there and work, and when the season's happening, they're like that. Or they're, you know, how you say, in how you say, their richness is intensely odoriferous.
Odoriferous
means very stinky.
Oh, odoriferous. Oh, hey, good one.
You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like they own half the island, you know, so then it's worth staying there, you know. You got a golf course in your backyard, you know, so it's, then it's cool, right? You know, but. Yeah, it was just, you know, you heard the thing, the guy lives out in the sticks, right? The sticks was an area of Palm Beach. You had the Palm Beach area, and then you had just next to that, because I think Palm Beach is kind of like an island, and on the mainland, that area where all the people, all the poor people that worked in Palm Beach, you know, as the, you know, as the, you know, how you say, you know, the assistants and servants and everything like that, that area was called the Sticks.
Okay.
So when you say someone lives out in the sticks, it means
that's where
it's called. Yeah, it means it's so bad. Yeah. So that's the thing, is here's the most expensive place, but it's also famous for the most poor place. Hmm. So that, you know. Yeah. And then everybody else just visits and comes and spends some time in a hotel and blows all their money and goes back. Mm-hmm. Did we get anywhere there? Or? You got the idea, okay. Yeah, so the whole point is the intensity, when it's in connection with the relationship, then there's a flavor. But when it's just in connection with yourself, then unless it's something you want to do, then the intensity is good. But if it's something you don't want to do, you'll say the intensity is not good. Right?
My point was also that it's a bit premature to decide.
That point, what you're saying is very valid. I was just talking about the perception here, just according to the example. The example is when it's about oneself, then you pick and choose what is left someone else than this one. But yes, it is premature. So, because you're Vrita Bhagavatam Rita, you're doing the whole Bhagavatam. So then basically we're on 10th canto stuff here, but we're only on 3rd canto in our studies. So then it will be, you know, it gives us an idea.
Are you saying that when we're on the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, we can kind of see where we fit in with the city and the spiritual world?
No, we're saying that then we may appreciate, hopefully after 9 cantos, we appreciate the position of the, you know, the residents of Goloka.
That's also good.
Yeah, that's, and you see more. It's not necessarily that. I mean, that would be good. Why do you go to those guys' class? Well, the last guys who went through, you know, I maintained a sarup and just went back.
It's all my diploma.
Tears are flowing.
Yeah. Can't read it. So you're saying nobody actually finished the 12 years? No, we all worked it back to God. Some of the 9, some could do the 11th.
So this course only happens once.
Where is everybody? So, I don't know, we just found some study material. That's all that's left. Let's see.
Yeah.
Something to aspire for.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So later on, they're listening. Wow, you're a writer. Yeah. Just talk. Okay. So basically, here it's not a matter of judgment; it's a matter of just appreciating. Sri Pariksit said, Devaki was loving to her son and was a dear friend to Nanda's wife. She said, you should give your best well wishes, whatever they want. Mother Devaki anticipated what Uddhava's reply would like, that Uddhava's reply would likely inspire Krishna to leave for Gokula. So she interrupted before Uddhava could speak. She suggested to Krishna that he placate the Vrajavasis some way or another, then by returning.
Interesting, because it's such an oblique kind of statement. She doesn't name any names. She says, your best well-wishers. He's leaving it up to him to decide.
Decide who's the best well-wishers, whether it's the Vrajavasis or the Dwarkavasis. Yeah. Then, fearing that the kingdom is about to be given away, old Padmavati, the Lord's grandmother, the queen of the Yadu king, Ugrasena, gathered her muddled wits and cleverly feigned a joking spirit. To protect her husband's domain, she spoke up again, even though Balaram's mother had snubbed her by ignoring her previous remarks. Invoking eloquence, Padmavati tried to change the mood to bring Krishna, the exclusive shelter of the Yadu dynasty, back to normal. In her own way, Padmavati had good intentions. She saw that unless Krishna could be calmed down, the whole Yadu clan faced destruction. She might even offer to turn the rule of Dwarka over to Nanda and the cowherds. Or he might even offer to turn the rule of Dwarka over to Nanda and the cowherds. To avert such danger, Padmavati tried a humorous distraction. Padmavati said, Krishna, why should you lament? Just listen to my advice. While living 11 years in the home of Nanda Gopa, you two brothers enjoyed various comforts. For that, I swear, my husband will repay Nanda twice over. My husband will see to it that Gargamuni calculates the amount to the smallest fraction and delivers it by his own hand. And if Nanda owes you payment for tending his cows, let him pay you. If Nanda owes you payment for tending his cows, let him pay you or not as he wishes. Padmavati makes light of the situation by treating it like a child labor transaction, with Krishna and Balaram as indentured workers on Nanda Maharaj's farm. For 11 years, Ugrasena's grandson, Krishna, lived and enjoyed in the house of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna might not take seriously Padmavati's idea to reimburse Nanda Maharaj and satisfy him with money. But even if Krishna becomes amused by it, her purpose of changing Krishna's mood will be achieved. She reminds Krishna that her husband, Ugrasena, is very generous, will not hesitate to pay twice whatever might be owed. And even if Nanda fails to remunerate Krishna and Balaram for the cow tending, that is a small concern. In settling the accounts, Nanda may not want to accept anything extra from Ugrasena, and that will be all the better. So there is no need to annoy Nanda Maharaj over the small amount for the salaries of Krishna and Balaram. Gargamuni is the best person to calculate the payment because he is an excellent astrologer, accustomed to making careful mathematical reckonings of configurations of planets. Moreover, though not saying so, Padmavati thinks that if the scrupulous Garga decides the amount to pay and delivers it himself, the cowherds will not get more than they deserve. Since Nanda is only a cowherd, he is not used to having much wealth other than a stock of milk products. The expenses for the two brothers should be repaid, but not those of Rohini and the maidservants who stayed with her in Braja, because she had insulted Padmavati by ignoring her previous comments. Right, so she shouldn't get paid.
All figured out.
Yeah, yeah. Padmavati is correct in figuring the duration of Krishna's stay in Braj as 11 years. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.226 confirms this. Thereafter, fearing Kamsa, Krishna's father brought Krishna to the cow pastures of Nanda Maharaj Nanda, and there Krishna lived for 11 years like a covered flame with his elder brother Baladev. This statement by Uddhava does not imply that after 11 years of living in Vraja incognito, Krishna and Balaram came out of hiding and continued living in Vraja for several years more. After all, when Akura came to take the two brothers away from Gokula, he saw that they were in the Kaishor age, that is, they were young adolescents. He saw Krishna and Balaram in the village of Vraja going to milk the cows. Krishna wore yellow garments, Balaram blue, and their eyes resembled autumn lotuses, autumnal lotuses. The two shelters of the goddess of fortune were in the Kaishor age. One of them with dark blue complexion and the other white. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:38-28-29. Again, when the two lords arrived in Mathura and entered Kamsa's arena to join the wrestling competition, the women of the city described them as adolescents. The two professional wrestlers have limbs as strong as lightning bolts and bodies resembling mighty mountains. What comparison can there be between these wrestlers and these two young, immature boys with exceedingly tender limbs? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:44-8. In general, it is generally understood that the Kaishor period of youth begins in one's 11th year. According to Vedic injunctions, Kshatriyas in particular are supposed to receive their sacred thread initiation in the 11th year. And so it was that Krishna and Balaram took initiation at that age, right after killing Kamsa. And so that's at the latest. It's recommended that they go from 6. If they're interested in the spiritual development, they go from 6. If they're only interested in just the training, you know, the Gurukul training, the occupational training, they go at 11.
You mean at 6 into the
group
already
received
the initiation?
It's traditionally it was the same thing, because at that age they had the maturity to do. Now it takes a few years for that maturity to
mature.
Yes. But otherwise Brahmas would go 5, Kshatriyas at 6, Vaishyas at 8. And then and if they're going late, Brahmins at 8, Kshatriyas at 11, Vaishyas at 12. But then your Kshatriyas and Vaishyas were graduating at 11, at 16. So that meant 4 or 5 years. So that would be like minimum. So 4 years is considered the minimum that you really get benefit. Because it takes 2 years to actually identify with it, that you're part of the scene. You know, and then another 2 years, and then you get something solid. But better you come earlier. Right? And then Brahmins generally would also stay later. But then for devotees, because they all act on that brahminical platform, so then they're all dealt with the same. So therefore, the coming of 5, maybe the 25. So that's the, you know, they're making that really solid. So Kishore is from 11. So you see the Kishore. So there he's touched on Kishore. That's what they're bringing out. But the always in the past times, the effect is that he's 16 when he goes to Mathura. Right? But that's calculated because the Mahapurush, the pastimes they performed, are always they're always ahead of their age by 1.5. You understand? So if you take 10 years, 8 months, that makes 16, if you take half again. So from that, he's 16. From the actual age, then he's 11. Is that... Yes.
This is only for the Mahapurusha?
Yes. But you see, Krishna will do that. Many times the Acharyas will do this. Yes, Krishna's having a rasa dance at 7. Right? But, you know, but you take... you. Does that make sense? But you add on to it, then it gets to that later age, and you know that's when interest starts. But the idea of 7, then no one can claim that it's due to mundane influence, because what 7-year-old's doing a rasa dance, right?
He's generally at 7 throwing snowballs at girls. And, you know, if they touch him, he thinks he's got cooties or something. His arm's going to fall off or something. He's got to burn his coat.
You know. Yes.
In the arena after Kamsa's death, Krishna told Sri Vasudeva and Devaki, because of us, your two sons, you always remained in anxiety and could never enjoy our childhood, boyhood, or youth. Because childhood would have been up to 5. The Kumara, then the boyhood was Pauganda, and then youth would be Kaishor. Although Krishna and Balaram had just entered the Kaishor age, the supreme heroic prowess they were showing in Mathura covered the natural charm of their youth. Thus Vasudeva and Devaki were not able to experience the sweetness of the boys in their adolescence. In other words, although Krishna's beauty is described as that of a full-grown youth, this does not mean he has passed beyond the Kaishor age.
Because as we mentioned about how the activities he performs, so even though he's 11, he's already now performing the activities of youth. So that means, because he was doing the Kaishor pastimes up to that, then before that, like this. Does that sound like this? Yeah.
As an alternative explanation of Krishna's statements to his parents, we can accept that when Krishna and Balaram came to Mathura, they were actually at the end of the Kaishor age, in their 15th year. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives some information about Krishna's age. Kumara is up to the 5th year. Pauganda is the 5th year to the 10th. Kaishora is from the 10th to the 15th. After that is Yovana. As Krishna was 11 when he killed Kamsa, he would be in the Kaishor age according to the above definition. Uddhava said, Krishna lived with Balaram secretly in Braja till the 11th year. End quote. Because of the statement and the fact that they had not undergone the Upanayana Samskar, it should be concluded that they started the Kaishor age while in Braja, but it had not been completed when they left. That is true if you take the normal method of counting the years. Okay, so this is, he is giving that this is the, how you say? The point being presented. That is true if you take the normal method of counting years. However, chapter 8, verse 26 states that Krishna and Balaram in a very short time began to crawl about. It is sometimes seen that a young prince during Pauganda age may show symptoms of the Kaishor age with his quick bodily growth. Therefore, what to speak of Krishna attaining Kaishor symptoms during Pauganda age? Therefore, in the case of Krishna, the ages are established according to the following norm, following the Vaishnava Toshani, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Ananda Vrindavan Champu. A Vaishnava Toshani is?
The Swami's commentary on Bhagavatam.
Okay.
Mostly 10th canto.
Okay. Vaishnava Toshani. Okay. Because you also have that, there was a magazine put out.
Sajjana Toshani.
Oh, that's Sajjana Toshani. Okay. Okay. At the age of 3 years and 4 months, Krishna displayed the qualities of a 5-year-old. During his Kumara age, Krishna stayed in Mahavan. From that time until the age of 6 years and 8 months, during his Pauganda age, he lived in Vrindavan. From 6 years and 8 months until the 10th year, he experienced Kaishor age while living in Nandeshwar. So 6 years and 8 months until the 10th year. Because that would then explain his Rasa Leela at the age of 7. Because mm-hmm. right? Otherwise, then that wouldn't happen. Because Kaishor would be the age for that. Mm-hmm. Right? It wouldn't be happening before that. Mm-hmm. Right? Before that, it's more just running around after your friends and throwing sticks at each other, stealing lunch. Right? You have to know your priorities.
Yes.
Stealing lunch is a big one.
Yeah.
In the 7th month of the 10th year, during the month of Chaitra, on the Krishna Triodasi, he went to Mathura. And on the Chaturdasi, he killed Kamsa. Oh, okay.
Next day?
Yeah. It's only a day away. You know? Getting a day away, and now I'm getting Annie's singing, you know.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll kill you tomorrow. It's only a day away.
So we'll be dead.
Yeah, yes. But no, just the Chaturdasi, because Chaturdasi, the 14th, it's a day of generally like a, it's more of a kind of a, I'm not sure how to explain, it has more of a Kshatriya mood.
Okay.
Huh? Yeah, Nrisimha Chaturdasi. It's a good day for dispensing the people that are annoying.
Okay.
Yeah, but so that's why it means the means as far as Garbhadan goes, this 14th day is a proper day, but for Brahmins it's not recommended. Because then, you know, there's the worry you might end up with something like Parasaram. So. Therefore, the 10th year was at the end of his Kaishor age. And thereafter, he remained at the same age. That's illustrated by the following statement. When the Kaishor age, Prajumna entered the apartments of Krishna. He appeared the same as Krishna, and the women hid themselves out of shame. So some word missing here or something. Or what it's like, when of the Kaishor age?
When the Prajumna of Kaishor age.
When the Prajumna of Kaishor age.
Yes, right. Kaishor aged Prajumna.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, 10:55:28. There's some similar statements in the Agamas. Thus, on the day of killing Kamsa, Krishna had both passed the Kaishor age and had not passed it. Because then you could say by age, he's still now 11. Now he can get his upanayana. You go to Gurukul, you know. But at the same time, he's already actually passed it in the Braj pastimes, right? So this is the interesting thing: is he does both of them. So because that way the Braj Vasis get the full. Because from youth, then you're considered adult. So technically, on one level, they didn't get to see those pastimes. They only technically saw his adult pastimes, but at the same time, then he's still in the Kaishor age, so he could take Upanayanam and that. Because if you've attained 16 and you haven't taken Upanayanam, then technically you're disqualified. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it had to be both were going on at once. So the maturity of his personality had already crossed for the 16th, but at the same time as the physical age was still that of 11. So therefore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then the two can work together.
It's also why Krishna called Nava Yoga now. He's at that adolescent age. Right?
Yes. And then once he gets there, he stays there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thus, on the day of killing Krishna, Kamsa, Krishna had both passed the Kaishor age and had not passed it. By this explanation, there is harmony between Krishna's statement in this verse that Kaishor age passed and the statement of the women in Mathura that he was in his Kaishor age. Shardartha Darshani 10:45:3. Yes.
Not only Krishna didn't age, but also his queens and some of his relatives.
Yeah, otherwise you kind of get, you know, this. It would be. Was that guy who went backwards or something and aged? Yeah, the guy, he gets younger and younger, they get older and older. It gets weird, you know. Yeah, so no, they all stay like that. Because all the resident spirituals just stay like that. So unless it's something for the mood, like Purnamasi will be older, you know, Mother Jashoda, Nanda Baba.
But they're always like this.
Yeah, but they're always like that. They never get older than that. You know? So it's not after eternity, then they get another wrinkle or something. You know, it's just they always stay that same because it matches what is their mood. That it stays at that. It matches that. It stays at that. So.
But this happens only in Boma Liga, because then in Golok, then Krishna is always Navayoma. He's never like born, and he never goes through those stages.
No, but he may be at a particular stage, but he just stays at that stage. So you'll have areas where it'll just be, the main focus is Mother Jashoda and the elder gopis, and so he'll be young and they'll have those pastimes, but he'll never get older, it'll always be that. So you have all these depending on how the devotees want to see him. But getting to that age, that's done here. You get to that age, you pass that age.
But he has different ages in there. It's just for different devotees, he appears differently.
Yeah, that's why Goloka is so big. Right? Because so it can accommodate all these things.
I say it's like Groundhog Day, the movie. Anyway, the guy lives the same day every single day, over and over and over. Nothing changes.
But his son didn't come out?
Huh? Yeah, exactly.
Good guy. Exactly. What to do now?
Exactly. But they always come down so enthusiastic.
Yeah.
That shows they're developing. Before they just came down and kept going. Yeah. See, they've been here a little time, so the effect is there.
It's working.
Yes, it's working.
He's listening to class.
Yes.
When Krishna was in Mathura, how much time he was staying there?
I think Jarasandha came every year with an Akshahini. So at least he was there 18 years. We're looking at it's short because we put it in our time frame, but there, in that age, if you live 1,000 years, it's pretty normal.
Yes.
So then 18 years there, even like the pastime in Interprastha, they were there, I think, 11 years or something before, anything.
Before back.
Yeah. And then at some point they got that that hall, when they did that pastime with Agni, the Kandava forest. Then he made the hall.
Sudharma?
Yeah. Sudharma was in Dwarka. This was a different one. Maya Dhanava made it himself. It had a name.
That's the one
at the Pukur. That was the Pukur. Yeah, and so Krishna suggested it. Maya wouldn't have done it because on Vastu you wouldn't put a Pukur in the middle of the building.
Yeah.
But he suggested it.
Yeah.
So then the Pandavas would enjoy it for those few years,
or
that time that they had it. But then that would also annoy Duryodhana. Then through the gambler match, he would then get it as his property, and then the effect would fall on him, because the effect falls after 14 years. Because the effect is if you have a pukur in the middle of the Brahmastan, then you'll end up with, it'll destroy all the children. So it destroyed Duryodhana and his brothers. That's why Maya wouldn't have done it, but since Krishna recommended it, he did it. Yeah, works out.
Because he built it according to the Asuric, according to the Swargiya style, and the...
Yes, he did all three. He did all three. So it's the architecture you wouldn't even see.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the architecture of the universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so in the Kaishora age, he's saying is that he's older, so then he would have appeared like Yovana, though Prajumna was Kaishora, he appeared like Krishna as Yovana. So then they got embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
But the queens with the...
Yeah.
It just says the women, just in general, it's a generic. It's not, okay. The poetry of Sri Bilba Mangal Thakur gives evidence that in some of the later pastimes before leaving Vrindavan, Krishna manifested symptoms of full-grown youth and even acted as an adult. A child may act like an adult by displaying some special strength or skill. The 15th year is especially attractive because at that age the body reaches adulthood at its peak of youthful beauty. But because Krishna was supremely gentle by nature, his 15th year seemed like the beginning of his Kaishora period. And his period of debt for enjoying Nanda Maharaj's milk products is still calculated as only 11 years, right, not 15. Since for the first 4 years he was an infant sucking his mother's breast. So then that also takes...
You don't owe him any money for that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because 15 is the biggest that they act like a kid. A 15-year-old is the biggest kid.
Yes.
You know, so they have that arrogance and everything because they are the biggest. Because when they turn 16, then they're the youngest adult.
Yes.
So the mood changes like that. So the greatest arrogance and everything is at 15.
Yes.
So that's why then it's the most attractive of that time.
Yes.
Maybe also the surroundings change their attitude towards when the kid goes from 15 to 16.
That's there, but it's just the mood change.
That's just
it's just, yeah, because 13, 14, 15 will be the same.
Mm-hmm.
But 15 will be more of that same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And then 16, 17, 18, that'll be the same.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In this way, we can reconcile the contradiction that seemed to appear amongst various statements. Some saying it was a new adolescence, and others a full-grown youth. Because it was both. Because
yes.
By mentality, it was a full-grown youth, but by age, he was still an adolescent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's the thing is, what Prabhupada is pointing out that there's no contradiction in the scriptures and amongst the acharyas. They're just pointing out different aspects of it because what do you want to bring out? His pastimes with the gopis, then you want to bring out that aspect of that kaishore that is there, but that mature aspect of the kaishore.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when he goes to Mathura, then he has to be, you know, basically like the child, because he's going to have Upanayanam, go to the Gurukul, you know, so they'll have that aspect. So is that, so it just depends which you're bringing out that they would come out.
So it means that Nanda and Yashoda, they were having full association with Krishna as a child and also teenager.
Yes.
And
so they saw all three: Kumara, Pauganda, yes. And Kishore.
And Devaki and Dasudel, they get the teenager.
Basically, they get the adolescent by age, but actually by what he's doing, it's more like a youth.
Yes.
So that's why he says that they didn't see those pastimes.
Yes.
You know, because there was that, right? One of the acharyas mentioned that point, is that he was saying.
Mm-hmm. That was Krishna talking to his parents. Because of us, your two sons, you always remain in anxiety.
Oh, because of us, your two sons, you always remain in anxiety and could never enjoy our childhood,
yes.
Boyhood, or youth. Yeah, because that makes
yes.
sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like that. Though technically by the age they didn't, but the pastimes they missed. So that's what's the specialness in the Boma Leela. It's just growing up through the ages, like that. So you don't have that in Goloka. It's just whatever is your relationship. That's the age that it's at, and it just stays like that. You don't have to worry. But, you know, there's no Botox in the Goloka.
You don't have to worry about that.
Okay. Good.
And here it should have been from somewhere, all the ideas coming from there, but we think of this one from there.
No, it's just about always staying youthful. That's the means you never get older. So that principle is there. It's, you know, why am I getting older? I'm not supposed to get older. Like that. There's something wrong here. Yeah. So that's the thing. Material world is like that's why the soul, no matter how pious, how good results, how everything works out perfectly, they still can't be satisfied because of this principle. So that's why. Makes sense.
Yeah. I'm not sure what.
Sometimes, yeah, I think it was last night, I took some medicine and it has kind of like a, what do you call it? Like a sugary outside or something. Oh, yeah. So I keep sticking my lips to them. Okay. Okay. 76. Sri Purukit said, although the personality of Godhead must have heard these words, he pretended he had not. That was, the words were Padmavati's. Yes. Yeah. Definitely you would want to pretend that you hadn't. That one. Probably everybody else pretended also. Driven by sorrow, he then inquired from Uddhava as though ignorance. Not holding Padmavati's suggestion in high esteem, Krishna chose to ignore them. He knew very well that what was required of him and what the Vrajvasis wanted. But because of sharing the distress of his devotees, he seemed unaware of these things. He responded to his own discomfort by asking for Uddhava's advice. Right? Because the thing is there's Sarvajna, knowing exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. But then there's Mukdatta, where he himself also is absorbed in the same, that aspect of Yoga Maya as the devotees.
Yeah.
So the same experience. So then he doesn't know.
Yeah.
77. The Supreme Lord said, so that's the thing, is that Braj is always Mukdatta.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? But in Dwarka, it'll be sometimes Mukdatta, sometimes Sarvajna. And by Kunta, it's only Sarvajna.
Yeah.
The Supreme Lord said, O best of learned scholars, you know all the thoughts of the residents of Braja. Please tell me without delay what is their desire. So this is another thing. You send him to Braja. Then he knows there, he sees the mood, he can then, and appreciates it, he can then discuss that with Krishna in Dwarka. If Krishna just went to himself, then when he comes back, then there's no association like that. But this way, then Uddhava. Please tell me without delay what it is they desire. This inquiry stems from Mother Devaki's proposal to offer the Brajavasis whatever they want. But she had worded it, your well wishers.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. not because the discussion was about the Brajavasis.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, but then she put it into the generic, well wishers mean including them also. Right? But not necessarily including Padmavati. that didn't seem to. This inquiry stems from Mother Devaki's proposal to offer the Brajvasis whatever they want. Krishna understands that no presentation of gifts will placate the devotees in Braja, since all they want from him is that he grace them with his presence. By approaching Uddhava for counsel, however, Krishna is able to free himself of the responsibility for the decision. If Uddhava advises him to go to Vrindavan, no one will be able to stop him.
Right, because otherwise his mother didn't really want.
Mm.
You know, and then Satyabhama is, you know, he's already there. He's not even here. You know, what do you mean?
Yeah.
He's not with them. He that's where he is all day. You know, in his mind. You know, and then Rukmini is saying, what about them? You know, Rohini is saying, you know, like that.
Gets complicated.
Yes. Well, that's Krishna. That's
That's family life. So you have to be able to balance all that. So for Krishna, it creates it's the happiness.
So Krishna, you need to satisfy everyone.
Yes, and that's the whole point, because everybody's reciprocating with it, so it has to fulfill everybody's desire. What first drove Krishna to acquire from Uddhava was anxiety, but now a second reason for taking his opinion has come to Krishna's mind. Sri Parikshit said, having heard these words from the Lord, the despondent Uddhava was taken aback. He sighed briefly and then answered, full of remorse. Right? Because then he becomes the one to say, like that. Not everyone, why did you tell him that? Yeah. but then there'll be Uddhava will always be thinking of Krishna and of the Brajbasi, so his ecstasy will be greater. In the extreme ecstasy of prema, this state of affairs evoked, Uddhava's discrimination failed him. Not recognizing the intended meaning of Krishna's statement that he wanted to visit Vraja, Uddhava instead took Krishna's word at face value and thought he wanted to placate his devotees with gifts. Thus, Uddhava thought that Krishna, although all-knowing and supremely merciful, wanted to continue deceiving the Vrajabasis. Uddhava was discouraged to see Krishna behaving like this with his loving devotees. Uddhava advises Krishna to return to Vraja, 79 to 98. Okay. So we ran out. This doesn't end it. That's the morning end.
Yeah.
20 minutes. Okay. Okay. In this section, Uddhava will speak of the pain to which Krishna has subjected the Brajavasis, headed by Nanda Maharaj. Before one can attempt to judge Krishna's actions, it is worth reading this cautionary remark by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This cautionary mark goes on for a page.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a serious remark. Okay, so this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. From Braja, Krishna goes to Mathura and then Dwarka, and then returns from Dwarka to Braja after killing Dantavakra. This will happen in the Prakat pastimes and not in the Aprakat pastimes. This can also be understood to mean that in Braja itself, there will be going to the forest from the village and returning from Mahaban to Vrindavan.
Going to the forest from the village, and B, returning from Mahaban to Vrindavan.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
That was it. There will be going.
It will be done.
Yes, okay. Yes, going will be going on.
Yes.
Okay. One should not say, however, that the Aprakat pastimes is superior to the Prakat pastimes, since there is no pain of separation by Krishna's going to Mathura in the Aprakat pastimes, because the pain of separation is a manifestation of transformations that take place in Mahabhava, the highest form of bliss, expressed in song of the bee. You just left out Bumble, right? Which is a lamentation in transcendental insanity. Uddhava, seeing the supreme form of the gopi's love, became astonished at the superiority of the gopi's love to the love of Lakshmi. Right, so in this case, that's where then you're meaning Rukmini. Because you can say she's the head Lakshmi. Because from there, that principle of Lakshmi expands from Rukmini. The gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of the husbands, sons, and other family members who are very difficult to give up, and they have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda. Krishna, lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, which one should search for by Vedic knowledge. Oh, let me be fortunate enough to be one of the bushes, creepers, or herbs in Vrindavan, because the gopis trampled them and blessed them with the dust of their lotus feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-61. When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in their Rasa Lila, the gopis were embraced by the arms of the Lord. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or other consorts in the spiritual world. Indeed, never was such a thing even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the lotus flower. And what to speak of worldly women, who are very beautiful according to material estimation. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-60. Okay. So he's showing here the pastimes, the prakat. And so what we're used to hearing is the prakat pastimes. Right? So this idea, the prakat, aprakat, is higher. It's not a matter of that. They're the same. It's just a matter of whether they're visible or not. Right? Because in other words, they're visible here for a particular amount of time, because here everything works by time and space.
Yes.
So therefore, the pastimes take on that flavor.
Yeah.
But otherwise, those pastimes are always going on.
Yes.
One should also not consider that separation is inferior to meeting with Krishna. Because even in separation, the two lovers, possessing sthayi bhavas with rati, prema, sneha, and higher levels of attachment, by memory alone, stimulated by the vibhavas, become filled with unlimited pleasure of enjoying each other through direct contact with embraces, kissing, and contact with the mind, eye, and body. Because through the memory, one is just the memory alone, one's remembering all these things. Because Krishna is memory, so they don't fade. So what is the experience doesn't go away. That's the thing. Here, there's an experience, and then slowly with time it fades, and then there's no experience. But in the spiritual world, that never disappears. So if you're with the person, you're getting that direct interaction. If you're not with the person, then by remembering, you're getting the directed, you know, because the memory is the same as the experience of when you are directly involved. So that's the thing of, oh, then the point is, that's why you're saying is that it's so intense there, because then that one thing can go on, but because the other thing, it'll change, but this one will just remain. So it's actually the separation is more intense. So,
it's just difficult to conceive how it
happens. Well, it's just like, let's say, if something very intense happens in the life, that memory, by thinking about it, can even invoke the feelings and everything like that. So because that absorption of Krishna is complete, because generally we're not that tuned into everything, because the senses are going in all directions at once. But here, the senses are fully focused on Krishna. So whatever happens, they will be fully aware of that. So that will remain. Does that make sense? So that any time they think of that, then they'll be absorbed. And if they're with Krishna, they'll be thinking of that being with Krishna. So they're getting that experience. When they're not, they're thinking of when they were with Krishna. So the two are actually non-different. So that's what they're pointing out, is that the sambhog and the vipralamba, they're actually the same thing. One shouldn't say that one is not meeting with the other, because they're the same, because you're getting the same experience. But it's just saying that the intensity is greater in vipralamba. Yes.
Is this connected to the point that the holy names are absolute in the same way memory or remembrance of Krishna is not
yes.
different from
Yes, it's non-different from Yeah, it's all, because that's the thing. Everything's on the absolute platform. So even though there's a variety, it still has that same transcendental position.
Yeah.
So there is no difference. That's the point. We're only pointing out differences in these things. One, of course, in the way of variety. But generally we're pointing it out because we're functioning in a world of that difference.
Yes.
Right? But it comes to the spiritual world, then they're non-different.
Yes.
But there's variety.
Yes.
Right? So that's the... So this kind of experience we don't really have. We can have an example here and there so that we can relate to it. You know, that's why the Shastras give the examples. They do, because then we can appreciate through that example the particulars. But in actuality, we can't really, because it's not something stable. But here it's saying because of their sthayi bhava, that means that bhava is stable. And then through the memory, vibhava then comes up. And then naturally from that vibhava in memory, then you get all the anubhavas. So there won't be any actual difference in experience. And the more intense that is, then we have, you know, the song of the bee. Then in that pastime, then the absorption is so great that it takes on the mood of transcendental insanity. Because that's one of the anubhavas is madness. So then it's... So that's the whole thing. It's not, but at the same time, is that seeing it, then you feel that compassion. Because that invokes all these other feelings, and therefore all the aspects in rasa go on. Does that make sense? So it'll generate physical symptoms, and you deal with it. In the spiritual world, actually, medicine is meant to deal with transcendental symptoms. You have a fever from separation from Krishna, then you use all these cooling things to bring down the fever and everything like that. You know, so it's not that anybody's sick, it's just the effect of the ecstasy. You know, somebody gets hiccups, so absorbs in Krishna. So you do something for the hiccups. So. You know, that's the whole thing, is that it's all about remembering Krishna, so all these things become vibhava, right, for remembering Krishna.
So you trip out by not doing drugs, and then you have to do drugs to not trip out.
I'm not sure if I caught that.
Right? In the material sphere, some would then do drugs to get it like a trip or get high.
Right.
But here in the transcendental sphere, just by interacting with Krishna, you would kind of trip out because the ecstasy is so great.
No. Here you trip out. There they trip in.
Trip in. Trip in. And then you have to have some kind of remedy to kind of function.
That's it.
Tune in.
Drop out.
Turn on, tune in, drop out. Really. But that's the material. Right?
Yes. But at the same time, there's a limit to what you can... You know what I'm saying? It's just like in reflection, there's a limit to the comparison.
Yeah.
Like that. So the comparison is used to give an idea to place it in the context. But in actuality, it's not actually a direct connection.
Yeah.
You know? Because here it's all the modes of nature and everything like that. So you have, there is natural ecstasy. Here you have to have, hormones and things like that to generate all these feelings. And, you know, hair stands on end. It's hormones. You know, all these different feelings. But there it's just the natural production of the spiritual body. Yes.
So Maharaj, to have like intense relationship with the spiritual master, right, advanced devotee, can help us to experience something closer to that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
Means to become closer, to understand that there is a spiritual effect.
Yes. Yeah, it means the point is like Prabhupada pointed out, I think it was the one lady in Mexico City. Then after hearing the lecture, something like that, this lady, I don't think she was a devotee. Some of it from the discussion she understood is, okay, you have to remember the Lord at the time of death. And then she, after the lecture, she came with the Prabhupada, and then she says, okay, we're supposed to remember Krishna at the time of death. The Lord, you know, time, can we remember you? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, and Prabhupada said, yes. Mm-hmm. So that'll... Yes.
So it's a perfection to be concentrated on the service to the spiritual master.
But as long as you see it in connection, it means yes. But the point is also there's the connection, because the spiritual master is connected to Krishna.
Yes.
So if you see that connection, that's better. You don't, at least he is connected.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Right? No?
Depends from internal. What is the spiritual master, which meaning he has for you, right?
No, no, that's another thing. You know, we're just talking that the spiritual master is representing the Lord, so therefore you remember the spiritual master, then you are in contact with the Lord. Because in the spiritual world, we're going to associate with Krishna through his associates. Right? So it's not so much about us, it's about them. You know what I'm saying? We have to shift from this kind of the mystic to the transcendental. Because the mystic is the experience that I'm getting. But the actual spiritual is that you're in contact with the spiritual. And so being part of that realm, then that's a different thing. You know what I'm saying? So it's not about the experience I get. That's why even jnanis, you know, we can classify them as materialists, because they want to experience Brahmananda. So it's about that happiness that they'll get out of being associated with Brahman. They couldn't care less if Brahman is getting any happiness out of it.
Unless they are Brahman.
Yeah, well, they'll say they are Brahman.
Win-win.
Either way. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, the absorption is serving the order of the spiritual master. That's what you're trying to do. And you're doing that because it pleases Krishna. Right? But even if one doesn't understand, you're just trying to please the spiritual master, that also works. Like we said about that disciple of Ramanujacharya, I think his name was Suresh. Right? That when they were, Ramanujacharya went to take darshan of Bharadvaj. And so he's standing in front of the deity, facing the deity. And Suresh was standing with his back to the deity, facing Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya says, no, you can't put your back to the deity. He says, I'm not. He says, I'm facing my deity. You're facing your deity. I'm facing my deity. So it's not like, it all works out. No one found it correct.
Weird.
No, but it worked. It's like you have your particular unique personalities that something is learned from. So, you know, correction is one of those.
I'm just thinking for Ramanuja standing there in front of them.
Oh, he's not exactly in front. You have the door. You have the door, and he's standing there at the gate facing Ramanuja. Ramanuja, so he's saying, you know, no, come on. He says, I don't know him. I know you. You know him. So if I serve you, then only I have a connection. So there. His point was, what's the point? Right? Just like that. So you don't hear of any other devotees do that. It's only with Koresh that happens.
Sometimes we see devotees who are very focused on serving the spiritual master, but maybe not so much those. I mean,
no. But the point is that's where it breaks down.
Yeah.
You can say no, but I'm just absorbing the spiritual master. That's talking about Krishna and the spiritual master, not the devotees.
Yeah.
So if serving the spiritual master, you don't deal properly with the devotees, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay, where were we? Okay, we were at this point.
I heard or I read somewhere long ago that when we chant Hare Krishna mantra, or to get proper to remember the spiritual mantra, like keep it.
If that's what happens, yes, why not? Better than, you know, wondering if you hung up the laundry or not. Yeah. Or if you turned the machine on. You know, yeah. That's what it is.
Or told the maid.
Does that make sense? Means you're hearing, and then from hearing, what happens? Yeah. So then, if you remember the spiritual mantra, fine. If you don't, then you hear, right? Hearing is where you start. And then, if the hearing generates name, form, quality, pastimes, associate, dom, paraphernalia, that's fine. But hearing is what you should be doing.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki
Jai
Shri Prabhupada ki
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaura
Jai